WABC New York, 880 on your dial.
Monday, November 3rd, Rumble Shelter brings you Vox Pop, the voice of the people, conducted by Bart Johnson and Wally Butterworth. Tonight, Vox Pop blazes the new trail, broadcasting from out west in the northern prairie land of the United States in the little town of Winter, South Dakota. More than half the town is crowded into the American Legion Auditorium here to tell the world about life in a western town of 2,500 population. And here's a roar of welcome from the pheasant hunting paradise of the USA, Winter, South Dakota. Okay, come on in, Bart Judd.
Okay, Jack Chase, and let's start off with one of the best-liked and most active men in Winter, one of the men who invited Vox Pop out here, Truman C. Luthert.
Hi, Mr. Luthert. Very fine, Park. How are you?
Stay out those bells, stick to that.
They're very nice.
And all like that. Boy, I imagine it's a dark night up there.
He's sort of scared.
You never can tell what might happen out here.
Well, right off the bat there, Mr. Luthert, which of your nicknames do you prefer?
Ike.
Ike. I've heard you call Big Dave.
Well, they call me everything out here.
Well, what am I going to call you, Ike or Big Dave?
Doc.
Doc. All right, so Big Dave, Ike, Doc. I want to get a little bit personal with you just a minute. Are you married?
Once.
Hey, yes, sir. Any children?
Four.
What's your business?
Drudger.
Well, that's talk and all like that. By the way, didn't I read a story some months ago in Life on Winter, and had you written up in there as a druggist and all like that?
Oh, I was just the assistant from that. Mr. Wagner was the druggist.
Is that right?
Well, you're a pretty good druggist, aren't you?
Well, I'll try to be.
I guess we ought to tell the folks listening, those who don't know Big Dave Ike Doc Ruthwood, that right at the moment he's minus all of his teeth.
Did I leave them home again?
You see, his store-bought bunch hasn't come in yet. Tell me, Doc, how'd you lose them?
I lost those biting tails off in rattlesnake.
Wow! Do you have rattlesnakes out here?
Oh, one or two.
Say, have you got a spare set of teeth around here for Ike that you can let him have, Doc? I hope these plates will fit you, Doc. You can use those until your store-bought come. You don't want to try those on right now?
Well, not right now.
All right, well, just hang on to them. Tell me, seriously, how many pheasants you figure you got in South Dakota?
Oh, about 20 million.
20 million?
Yes.
How many did you ship out of here last year?
Oh, around about 250,000.
That much, huh? Well, now, what size is a pheasant?
About 3 pounds.
That's about as big as a small chicken. There's a lot of out-of-state folks out here.
A lot of them here.
Yeah?
Around 10,000.
For instance, name me a few prominent people that come in here.
Oh, Bob Thorne, Gabby Hartnett, and Raleigh Hensley, and all these thousands of them here.
And Bob Gable came here.
Well, he was out here.
Was he out here? Say, I don't know what to call you. Fellow, yesterday I asked him how far it was over to Mr. Shipley, don't you know? That is, Pete asked him. And he says it's a mile and a piece. What do you mean?
That's about 13 miles.
Well, all I know is we didn't go that far. I just wondered what it was.
I thought it was 22.
Mile apiece. It looked like to me he meant a piece of a mile, but it looked like to me he went farther than that. Anyway, if you're going to kid me on that, I don't know. I'll have to ask Pete about that. Which is faster, a pheasant or a rabbit?
A rabbit.
You did pretty well yesterday, the day before yesterday, chasing that match. So you saw the wing? You know?
Well, I cut the rabbit, and you didn't catch the pheasant.
Well, there's something to that. What industries you got around, Winner?
Oh, we got pheasants and cattle and horses and grain and pheasant feathers.
Pheasant feathers?
Yes.
Is that, you're not horse feathering me or anything?
No.
Like that. What do you do with pheasant feathers?
Well, they take those over to Hawaii and make leaves out of them.
You mean over the Hawaiian Islands and make those things that hang around your neck?
Around your neck. Around somebody's neck.
Well, say that. That's darn interesting, Doc. But I'll tell you what your main accomplishment is around here. It's hospitality. We've been here 3 days now, and we want to say that we've never seen anything like it. And, Mr. Rutherford, Romo Seltzer wants you to have, for you and the missus, this 5-tube radio set which you can move around. And for the poor young Rutherfords that we found out, a nice, pretty little Shetland pony.
Yeah. Oh, boy! You're a damn, huh?
Thank you very much. And how about it, Wally? You ready?
Okay, Jack.
Haven't you noticed when you're suffering from a headache that you sometimes feel nervous, irritable, often an upset stomach too? That's what's known as headache's vicious circle. Why a headache can make you feel so miserable? It's when you're suffering such a headache that a preparation is needed which gets after all three of these conditions at the same time. Well, Bromo Seltzer's been scientifically designed to do those three important things. You see, Bromo Seltzer contains medically recognized properties which, first, relieve the pain of the headache itself. Second, help calm nerves. Third, help settle upset stomach. It's because of Bromo Seltzer's three-way action that you get speedy relief, feel better so quickly, more alert, both mentally and physically. Of course, if you're troubled with persistent or recurring headaches, you should see your doctor. But for an occasional splitting headache, take Bromo Seltzer and fight those headache miseries three ways at the same time. Okay, Wally, carry on from Winter, South Dakota.
Thank you, and hello, ladies and gentlemen. This gentleman is owned by everybody in Winter and by most everybody in the 48 states. He's the proprietor of the hotel at Winter, where all of the hunters stop and swap yarns. He's also a crack shot with any type of gun that you can mention, at least he says so. Mr. D.H. Dave Lack. Come on, Dave, say hello.
Hello, everybody.
How long have you been running this hotel here, business?
About 11 years.
And how many rooms you got and what's the price?
42. Price range from $1, $2.50, $2.50, there. We have only $1 room. The night clerk has seven.
Night clerk, huh? How many bellhops you got around that hotel?
Oh, three of them.
Three?
Yeah, myself, my wife, Spencer, and night clerk.
I see, you're sort of doubling brass. Well, would you mind telling me honestly, now you're a crack shop and fine hunter, I want to know exactly what your wife thinks of you as a hunter.
She doesn't think very much of it.
Why?
Well, I don't know. I don't think I bring enough stuff home to eat.
You're not a good provider.
Not a very good provider.
Weren't you a hunter just this last week or so?
Yeah, we did that.
Mm-hmm. What were you looking for?
Deer.
Did you get it?
No.
Why not?
Well, I didn't see it.
You didn't see a buck?
No.
Did you fire your gun?
What?
What at?
Stump.
Might I ask what was the purpose of that?
I want to see why the shooter.
Well, what happened?
I split the stump.
You split it in half, huh?
Yes.
Well, now, I noticed that you must get some rookies of all kinds around here. A lot of rookie gunners have come into town. Give us an example of one of the rookiest.
Well, I...
Don't look at me that way, though.
I don't know if they've been, I didn't get out on this last prison hunt. They tell me that they had a couple of fellows out there pretty much on the rookie orders. One fellow was setting his, I think, mate, what's he calling him?
Mate,
yeah, to use the boy, and they said that he enclosed his right eye to shoot.
And looked through the left.
And looked through the left.
What did it cure it?
Some kid out there noticed it, yes, and corrected him on that, and he passed his eyes shut, so...
By the way, just to keep you out of trouble here with your wife, in case she doesn't think you're a good hunter, bring out that doghouse, will you, for Dave, please? What time do people in the city of Winter and cities of its type get up in the morning and go to bed at night?
Well, they go to bed practically all hours of night. Of course, in the morning, we watch them a little closer than they do when they go to bed, because sometimes they get out on us without us seeing them. We don't do so well.
Well, do they go to bed real early?
Well, some go to bed real early, yes.
In the morning?
In the morning, yes.
I see. That's what I thought. Are there any jitterbugs here in the city of Winter? And are you one?
I think that would be considered.
You're a jitterbug, huh? There you are, girl. You know, I haven't heard a single soul, Dave, mention war or tragedy or poverty while I've been in Winter. Why is that?
Well, I wouldn't know, except the fact that we don't let anything worry us. We have a good town here. And
what's your big slogan out here?
Well, what is our slogan?
Well, you ought to have one. I've heard it. Everybody mentions it.
No,
how many pheasants did you get and did you get?
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's one of our big slogans.
Yes, sir.
That's
now, fine. I have it on good authority that you're a great musician. Really, Dave.
I heard that before.
Yeah. You're an excellent violinist. You're sort of a cross between Jack Benny and Yasha Heifetz.
I admit that.
Uh-huh. Well, is the madam here? So, Nate, just drag out that fiddle here. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is my great honor and pleasure to present Yasha David Lapp, who is going to be accompanied by a few Sioux war cries. That is the Winter Symphony Orchestra, as I understand it. He's playing the concerto in B minor of Ostrovich. In other words, he's tricking in the straw. Go ahead. Well, I'll tell you, we have as a reward for your good sportsmanship 20 boxes of 12-gauge shotgun shells for you and a deer head, something like the one you didn't get for your hotel lobby. Take a look. Thanks a lot. All right, Mark. Boy, I don't know which I enjoyed the most, the drums or the violin, Wally. Well, everyone in Winter, South Dakota is friendly. We found that out since we've been here. And I'm told that the lady at the microphone with me now just spreads lots of fun around with a good-natured wit whenever she's in town. Folks, I want you to meet Mrs. Charlie McLaughlin. Mrs. McLaughlin, honestly, tell me, just sort of confidentially, were you ever serious?
Serious?
Uh-huh.
I don't know the meaning of the word.
Well, you figure sort of a waste of a time, something like that, huh?
Absolutely.
Everyone in Winter has got a nickname. I found that out since I've been here. What's yours?
Well, I have one, but I don't like it.
Oh, you don't?
No.
What is it?
Big Sis.
Big Sis? How come you don't like it?
Well, why call attention big? Everybody can see for themselves.
Well, now, you know, when I heard that nickname, I thought of the Sis, not of the Big.
Well, that's the way to think of it.
And we call it Big Hearted for the big part of it. Well, Big Sis, you don't mind if I call you that for a minute?
Oh, no,
you don't like
no.
Do you work or do you keep house?
You never did keep house, did you?
No, I can't say that.
Well, I do both.
Which is more work, working or keeping house?
Keeping house.
Keeping house, yeah. How long have you been married?
Oh, I hate to tell.
You do?
I was married young.
Oh, you are? All right, come on, how long?
Just a year, last October.
1 year? Well, was it a short engagement?
Short?
Uh-huh.
Would you call 26 years short?
you don't mean you engaged 26 years. What were you doing, looking him over or something?
Well, I was picking my man.
How come you finally married him?
Well, you know, the war's on, and he wanted to escape the draft.
Who's boss at your house?
Who's boss?
Uh-huh.
Both of us.
Both of us, boss. Well, you're a diplomat. I can see that right now. Well, I don't know whether you can both handle him or not, but I think right there you deserve a little bit of a reward and a little pause in the proceedings. We have a great big 20-pound live calm turkey that we'll take home and see who does the carving on that. In a town of 2,500 like Winter, there ought to be a cracker barrel somewhere where all the gossip starts. Is there one around here?
Yes, there is.
Yeah? Where is it?
Well, we get in to peace off and... Yeah. Have a little meeting of the Rock and Roll Club.
And it's you, Gussie.
Yes, I got them.
You do?
Yes, sir. Well, I like it, Tyler.
You sort of like it, huh? Well, how far east have you ever been, or west? Say east.
Well, not very far. I've been down to St. Charles.
I'm interested in this. Would you give me your idea of what you think New York City is like?
Oh, I'd hate to tell. It'd be a terrible mess for just a little goose girl like me.
Well, don't you think you could find your way around over there?
Well, if I had a flashlight, probably.
Well, let's put it the other way around. You've seen a lot of folks come out from New York, Chicago, Milwaukee, and all those places.
Give us your idea of a tenderfoot.
Well, I'll tell you. It'd probably be just a lot of fuss and a lot of pheasant feathers. A lot of shots fired. Not much doing.
I know what you mean by that, a lot of pheasant feathers. Well, Ms. McLaughlin, you earned what's coming next. And Bromo Seltzer hope that you get a lot of pleasure from using both of them. First, it's a great big oil heater that you, I hope, can use in this winter that's coming up. That's for you. And next is a great big sheepskin coat for that gentleman that you married a year ago. Now, wait a minute. And that's not all. That's not all. Nate's coming over here with a phone. And on the other end of that telephone is one of the great lovers of the radio and the screen. You hear him on the Seal Test radio program every week. I'm talking about Rudy Vallee, who is in Hollywood now, waiting to talk to you. Will you talk to him?
Hi, Rudy. Say, I'm talking to you from Winter. You know Winter? That's right, out in Salt Grass Country. Hi, Ed Lloyd, Rudy. Say, Rudy, you know Pete Bollea and Wagner and a few of these fellas here have been trying to tell me, if you're just spoofing me, that you don't really care for me.
I think we'd better let Ms.
Is this private? Is this private? Will anybody be listening in on this? Oh, that's too many.
How about Rudy? It, don't you think we'd better let her have it, all the rest of it in private? Thank you very much, Ms. McLaughlin. Take it over and talk to Rudy. Finish it over there. Go ahead and talk right to Rudy.
There he is.
Hi, Wally. Come on. And now here's one of Winter's most prominent citizens, proprietor of a large hardware and sporting goods store, and an authority on hunting. He's hunted bear in Alaska, deer and moose in the Northwest, and even snakes in Florida. Mr. P.O.P. Bollea.
How are you?
Pete, first question, who imported pheasants into the United States?
George Washington, I understand.
Well, don't tell me so quickly. You ought to think about it a little bit.
Gee. That's history.
That's right. How come that the state of South Dakota has a 50-day season? Why do you take so long to shoot these birds?
We have so many pheasants, Sir Wally, that the farmers are crying for relief. We had to get rid of the pheasants.
Is that right?
That's a fact.
Well, they're certainly wonderful. Now, how much would I have to pay for one of those birds in the store here?
Well, you can get a mounted one for about $4.50.
No, I mean, if I went to the meat shop and I wanted to buy them.
You can't buy them.
Why?
They're not for sale. We don't commercialize on our game. Anything.
No, if I want a pheasant, I have to have a
pheasant. You have to go out and shoot it, and if you don't do any better than I've seen you do. We'd probably have to have them given to you.
Oh, my goodness, Pete. You do embarrass me so. You know, I've often understood, and I'm coming right back at you. I've often understood that the fella even can be a pretty bum shot and lose his game. But never in my life have I heard of a man who twice in one season lost his gun. Now explain that one, sir.
Well, Wally, I did lose my gun yesterday for a short while, but, Wally, that isn't half as bad as losing your hat in a town the size of Winter, 2,500 population. Have you found yours yet?
No. No, I haven't. Well, how do you mean by losing your gun? What do you do?
Well, I tell you, I went to put a roof in the back of the car, and I laid my gun down against the car and drove away and left. And I found it again.
I see. What are some of the most interesting sales that you've had in your store?
I believe one of the most interesting was selling sleigh bells to Indians in July, which we do quite often.
That's the sleigh bells they have?
Yes, just like they have around their legs and hanging to the sides of their legs.
And they start making them in July.
They come in and buy the strings and make their, their bells.
The only thing I find wrong with your hunting out here in winter is that you have to travel too far and you have to walk too far to get it. Now, you see, down in New York, we just take a rifle and we stand right in one place. We shoot squirrels, bears, ducks, and birds.
Well, that's in a shooting gallery, isn't it?
You're too tough for me, boy. Well, in case you get in bad trouble, bring in that 100 pounds of salt to put on the pheasant tail, will you?
Well, Wally, may I say something?
Yes, sir.
Although I may lose my gun, I can go out barehanded and get more pheasants than some of the distinguished visitors who came out here to do.
I agree with you. Well, I'm sure, Pete, that you're right. Now, you're also quite an authority on catching snakes, rattlesnakes. Do you catch them by hand?
Well, I have instruments to catch them with. But I do handle it by hand occasionally, just to show off, you know.
You put a noose?
Yeah, if you have a stick with a noose on the end, we just reach out and slip the noose around the rattlesnake's head and bring him to camp.
Hmm. Hey, how high can a rattlesnake hit? I mean, if you see
him strike it about half his length.
Well, I mean,
a 36-inch rattle would strike about 18 inches. That is, you'd be in danger if you were within 18 inches of that snake.
You mean he'd get you up on top of the beach?
Well, he might.
Not me, if I saw him coming. Who is the biggest liar? I want this thoroughly understood. A hunter of pheasants or a fisherman?
Well, Wally, I'm both. You put me on the spot.
All right, now, take it out 2 seasons.
I believe a fisherman is.
You really think?
Yes, so? I don't hunt as much. I don't fish as much as I hunt.
I see. Well, I think the hunter is. Anyhow, for your kindness and your good sportsmanship, Pete, we have for Mrs. Beaulieu from Bromo Seltzer a Toastmaster set, and we learned from our spies that she wanted that. And for yourself, 2 pairs of All Wool Robes.
That's fine. That's fine.
Thank you very much. All right, fine. A friend in need is a friend indeed, as Miss Margaret T. Mullins of Providence, Rhode Island, learned to enjoy. She writes, I occasionally suffer from severe nervous headaches and have tried many products with little satisfaction. A friend of mine recommended Bromo Seltzer, and I was overjoyed in the relief that it brought me. I also noticed Bromo Seltzer is very effective in helping to calm my nerves and settle upset stomach.
Millions of people know that every word Margaret T. Mullins wrote is true. So successful is Bromo Seltzer in fighting headaches and miseries, many families have written that they have used it for 3 entire generations. So, next time your head is throbbing and your nerves have gone haywire and your stomach feels upset, take Bromo Seltzer according to directions on the label. See what a difference it makes when you take a preparation that acts on the head, nerves, and stomach at the same time. Okay, Park?
Okay, Jack. Now, every baseball fan knows this next interview here of ours. He's a big league catcher, the man who hangs on to Bobby Feller's fast ones. He's likable Raleigh Hemsley. Raleigh, let's talk just a little bit of baseball and a whole lot of hunting.
Well, that suits me fine, Parks.
You've been out here hunting for several days, haven't you?
I've been out here 2 weeks.
2 weeks, huh? Was Bobby out with you any of that time?
Bobby was out here 5 days, and he was called back to Cleveland.
I see. Well, did you both get your limit every day?
Well, we finally managed to get our limit every day.
Confidentially, Raleigh, I hope he's not listening, Bobby, but who's the best shot?
Well, I think I'm the best shot, but we both do pretty good out there in the field.
I bet you do. I never saw a baseball player who wasn't good at sports, and particularly anything that required quick action and eyesight, except me, Raleigh Hemsley. Raleigh, just one thing about Bobby before we pass on from baseball. Which is harder to hit? His high, hard, fast one, or a cock pheasant just rising in front of you all of a sudden?
Well, Parks, I'd say the pheasant is harder to hit than Bob's fastball.
Yeah?
But I've never hit against it. I've always caught it.
Yeah, well, you know when it's coming in there. It's coming, don't you?
Pretty fast.
Now, Raleigh, you're a pretty good hitter. I've followed you for many years. And I hope that you get 10 hits out of each one of these 20 baseball bats. Bring them out here. Oh, there they go. Hi, I want Raleigh to, come here a minute. I want Raleigh to help a little stunt here. How are we going to get somebody out of the audience? Will you call it? 1 to 1,000. Call a number.
25.
Who's got 25? Well, while we're looking for ticket 25, I'll ask Raleigh something else around here.
You know, Parks, I want to say something about them bats. 20 bats, that's more than hits I got all year last year.
Oh, no. I don't believe a word of that. You got them when they counted, anyway. Raleigh, did you know that our Sioux Indians here are going to make a big chief out of us?
Well,
after the program?
I heard that, Parks, that they're going to make a big chief out of both of us.
Yeah? You know what your name's going to be?
Why, it's going to be Wombly Noppy.
What does that mean?
Chief Big Eagle.
Chief Big Eagle, huh? Ringneck Eagle or
that's
something
like that.
Like that. Okay, well, that's fine. Now, wait a minute. Here's the gentleman. Let him come up here, and you hold those things, Raleigh. First of all, tell me who you are.
My name is Wilbur Bayes.
And you live where?
Where?
And what do you do?
I'm a mechanic.
Mechanic. Well, now, here are 2 envelopes. One of them's got a $10 bill in it. The other's got a 10-cent piece. We want you to take the choice of either envelope you want. Will you hold them there for him? Take your choice. Pull one of them. Look and see what's in it. Look and see what's in that. Now, while he's pulling that open, we'll continue here with Raleigh. You look pretty good shape, Raleigh. Is it good to hunting?
Well, Parks, I started hunting as soon as the baseball season's over. And,
Oh, he got a $10 bill. Fine. Thank you very much, sir. Luck to you.
Running up and down these hills keeps me in pretty good shape, all.
Well, after you leave here, where are you
going
to hunt?
Well, I'm going to Missouri and hunt for, about the middle of December, then I'm going to Arkansas and hunt deer again.
Well, you really ought to be in good shape when spring training comes around.
Well, in fact, I rest up when I go to spring training.
That's good. Say, one last thing here about pheasants, Raleigh. I know everybody tells me she's one of the best shots that comes around the winter, which is the capital of the pheasant shooting country, I'm told. What is that clear noise that I hear hunters, veteran hunters like you make when you start into a field?
Well, you mean something like this?
Yeah. What's that for?
Well, that's to scare them up in front of you.
Well, I thought maybe that was to sort of make them sit tight.
Well, you know, a lot of these hunters around here are pot shot.
Yeah,
pot shot. Get them on the ground.
You want to get them up. No, I don't believe a word of that. Well, Raleigh, thanks. And Bromo Seltzer's got two rewards for you, something we want you to have. First of all, it's a swell Stetson hat. And next... Well, it looks good on him, too. And next, to fill out something that your armory needs, a 12-gauge shotgun, and I hope you have a lot of luck with it. Thank you very much, Ronnie. Good night. Bye, Wally. Bye-bye. You know, all towns need somebody in them, large or small, to take care of you when you got a toothache. And the representative from Winter is Dr. Harold D. Lucas. He's one of the best-known citizens of this community. Hello, Doc.
How are you, Wally?
Good for you. Doc's strict orders were issued that everybody should be in uniform tonight. I noticed you aren't. That is in hunter's costume.
These are my hunting clothes.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, there's different kind of hunters up here. There's these boys that dress all up and go out and walk through the cornfields and so forth, but I don't do that. That's work. I stay away from work. I'm what is known as a roadside hunter.
What do you mean?
Well, I just ride along in my car and shoot them out the window.
You do? Well, you're not allowed to shoot guns from the roadway?
Well, I don't use a gun. I use a slingshot.
Oh, get out. Hey, Doc, like most dentists, do you find that you preserve the extracted teeth from your prominent victims and keep them in the office?
Well, yes, I do, but I've got one particular. I've got it right with me here. Here's one here, right here, out of a prominent man here in town. That comes from Duke Boyle. That was a good tooth.
Well, what do you carry it around with?
Well, I extract the tooth for him. He never pays me, so I kept the tooth.
And you're going to keep it till he kicks in, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, now, in order to help you along, we have for you some, we got a hammer and a chisel and a monkey wrench and some pliers to help you along. And, we're awfully sorry that we have to say goodbye for this evening. But what else do we have here for the Doc? Will you fetch it out?
Oh, boy, look at those boots.
There is a pair of boots and a fine oil burner stove.
Thank you.
All right, Doc. But let's continue after this thing is over.
Many headaches not only affect the head, but the nerves and stomach as well. This being the case, it's just good common sense to take a preparation which acts on the head, nerves, and stomach all at the same time. Bromo Seltzer does just that. It not only relieves the pain of the headache itself, but helps calm nerves and settle up their stomach. So successful has Bromo Seltzer been in bringing prompt relief from headaches that over 100 million bottles have been sold the last 10 years alone. Proof of its grateful benefits. So, next time you're suffering from a headache, take Bromo Seltzer. You can try it for as little as 10 cents. Compare its action with any preparations you've ever used. See what a difference it makes when you fight headache miseries three ways at the same time.
Well, we're leaving South Dakota, the Hunter's Paradise, and next Monday night, Vox Pop will present a really exciting event. A broadcast from the hangar deck of Uncle Sam's brand new aircraft carrier, the USS Hornet. And as we leave this great little town of Winter, South Dakota, Vox Pop says thanks a million to a bunch of regular guys.